Hey, our ride's almost here. Are you ready?
Just grabbing my shoes.
That's what you said 10 minutes ago.
I just wrapped a video call, uploading this giant file on my tablet, looking at my watch go bananas with the group chat, and, of course, still lining up tonight's playlist on my phone.
All at once?
Yep, story of my life. That's why I switched to T-Mobile. They have the fastest 5G network.
Okay, multitasker. I see you.
Honestly, I never imagined I could do all this at once. It's awesome.
Say no more. I'm totally switching. My post is taking way too long to upload.
That's a sign. You've got to get T-Mobile.
So many reasons to join T-Mobile. Find yours at T-Mobile.com.
Fastest based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data of national speed score results incorporating 5G download and upload speeds for the first half of 2026.
I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
What if your next move wasn't another job, but a career? The St. Louis Building and Construction Trades are looking for the next generation to build what's next. Earn while you learn through a union apprenticeship. No massive student loan debt, just real training, real skills, and real opportunities. Many union trades earn $40 to $75 an hour in total compensation, including health care and retirement. With major construction projects happening across St. Louis and Missouri, there's never been a better time to get started. Build your future. Visit mounioncareers.com today.
Happy Sunday morning. It's a chilly one out there after 70 degrees on Friday. We'll have 60 degrees tomorrow, so just know that you might need an extra layer as you leave the house today. It is March 16th, 2025. This is Sunday Take. And, you know, we all survived the Ides of March, except for the Wild. Beware of not being able to score goals in hockey. That's the theme of my weekend, of a lot of hockey I watched yesterday. And yesterday was an 0-for day. None of the teams I was cheering for yesterday on multiple games took home the W. So we'll wake up today. We'll have a new show that starts at 10 with plenty of chatter about Aaron Rodgers and the Vikings, but first we'll dig into some politics issues. Want to get your thoughts, 651-461-9226. I want you to contribute to the take this week at the end of the show. We've had a lot of reflections and coverage, including a special section in today's Star Tribune, about 5 years later after the world shut down. I remember this weekend well. Some neighbors had a St. Patrick's Day party, and it was an eerie feeling of, is this the last, you know, time we gather for a while? We thought maybe, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, bend the curve. Little did we know that the restrictions would go on and on. And I really want to get your thoughts about 5 years later, not what went right or what went wrong, but what can we learn? I think that's my view of what did we learn about our government, our media, our neighbors. That's what the take's going to be this week. So send me your thoughts. What did you learn about COVID? 651-461-9226. What did it teach us about our community, our state, our leaders, and how can we deal differently or the same with it going forward? I also point out that top story this week, which kind of broke Wednesday night, Thursday, was Governor Tim Walz's decision to go on a tour, go to do town halls in congressional districts where members of Congress, Republicans, were not doing them. What do you think about that? I think it shows that Governor Walz is certainly taking the stage. I read some other national coverage this weekend that Rahm Emanuel and Gavin Newsom also positioning themselves to run for president. And granted, we have 3 years, but as we all know, these election cycles get longer and longer each time. And so any thoughts you have on Governor Walz, email me at BloisHolson@gmail.com as I watch this tour continue. But this week, we're going to reflect with one of Minnesota's finest reporters, Peter Callahan of MinnPost. He has exited. He is retiring. We knew it was coming. But he brings a unique perspective because he's not one of us. He didn't spend his whole life here. In fact, he came in a few years ago and began to look at things in Minnesota politically and policy-wise with a different lens. And I appreciated that lens. I've appreciated my interactions with him, both as a quasi-colleague and somebody I worked with on stories. But he brings a perspective. One of them that he observed when he got here was, what was the Met Council and how did it work? And since he posted on Friday his a very original departure. I saw him earlier in the week. I said, when's your last day? He wouldn't say. And then we found out it was Friday. So with that, we'll take a break. When we come back, MinnPost's retiring Capitol reporter, Peter Callahan, on what he thinks about Minnesota and what Minnesota should know about itself. I'm Blois Olson. This is Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO. We're back on Sunday Take. I'm your host, Blois Olson. Joining me now, Peter Callahan. Until Friday, he was the Capitol reporter for MinnPost. Gotten to know him over the last several years and enjoyed his writing, enjoyed his perspective. And I thought that, I know he wants kind of a quiet goodbye. So we'll try to make this thoughtful and a way to learn is I thought his reflections on when he came to Minnesota, what he learned would be a good way for us to look in the mirror as Minnesotans who follow politics. Peter, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. What, you've never heard of the Irish goodbye?
Well, I have, and it's appropriate that it's this weekend, but I'm Swedish, and we say long goodbyes. And by the way, congratulations on retirement, but also I think that when I texted you, I didn't know if you'd say yes, but I'm glad you did, as well as the fact that I do think we Minnesotans can learn things from outsiders who come and see our state, see our political culture. And I thought you'd have some valuable insights in that. So I appreciate it.
Okay.
When you came to Minnesota, what did you think you were going to cover? What did you know about the state? What was a surprise and what didn't surprise you when you got here?
I guess the surprise was that you might have tornadoes. I mean, I knew cold and 10 feet drifts and all that, but when the tornado warning went off outside my apartment, I thought, you know, what the hell? It didn't seem fair, but it is what it is. Hey, people don't, in fact, small talk in Minnesota. You can complain about that accusation all you want, but we came in to look at an apartment before we'd even moved here, and I realized I was in trouble when the hotel clerk wouldn't small talk with me. So, that followed me around. And then I guess the other thing that's half funny and half not is this whole concept of Minnesota exceptionalism. It really does close the state off from listening to and learning from other places when you think to start with that everything you think of is the most brilliant thing ever.
And I think we hear that a lot. And I'll give you credit on the small talk piece because at times you and I have been able to make small talk, but we both also are efficient communicators and could read each other. When you think about Minnesota's exceptionalism, and you've been here for 10 plus years, Where did it stand out in covering the Capitol that, what are the stories that you're most proud to tell, and are there stories you didn't get to tell that you wish you would have?
Well, I think the whole concept, and let's get nerdy here, that Minnesota legislature thinks they must have 300-400-page omnibus bills, that there's no other way to run a legislature than to have everything thrown into one or 10 omnibus bills. It's not transparent. It's hard for the public to cover. It was hard for me to cover. And then, you know, if you really get in a jam, put all 10 omnibus bills into one 1,400-page omnibus bill and pass it in 2 hours, and then brag about your transparency in legislation. Other states don't do that. They pass hundreds of bills during sessions, and somehow they manage to get out on time. So that, to me, is the myth of the primary myth of the Minnesota legislature. You know, the other is it still remains a pretty, despite what we write about too much, is a relatively friendly political atmosphere at the legislature, at least. You know, when you get some pretty conservative members and some pretty liberal to progressive members not only being friendly but co-sponsoring legislation, I'm not sure that happens everywhere, and it still happens here.
When you think about transparency, it's something you and I have talked about. It's one of my key kind of watches that I try to point out when it's not transparent. When you ask questions or when you push back on transparency, what did people say either publicly or privately that you just didn't buy or just isn't true from what they say versus what, you know, what they say to you versus what is real and actual in the legislature?
We're more transparent than point to wherever you want to point to. You know, Melissa Hortman can say we're more transparent than Kurt Dowd, and Kurt Dowd could say he's more transparent than Paul Thiessen. You know, it was always, you didn't need to be transparent. You just had to be more transparent. You know, you don't have to outrun the bear. You just have to outrun the one who can't outrun the bear. So they're, you know, that's almost always the excuse that we're better than some other people. So why don't you talk about those guys who were in office 15 years ago? It was sort of a never ending issue in the legislature, and no one outside the legislature knows or cares. You know, the sign that we should put up in the press hall is, does anybody outside this building care about this? And usually the answer is no. And we, and I don't mean me, because I really tried not to do that, but we collectively tended to focus too much on those issues that no one really cares that much about.
As you were at MinnPost, the rise of Tim Walz happened. The governor's race, the second governor's race, his vice presidential ascension. Anything on his evolution or the way in which he reflects the politics of the state?
Well, what Tim Walz sort of brings is this, you know, super, you know, I'll say shucksy, very, very friendly, common persona. And when he first got there, he wanted to govern that way, and he wanted to meet with people and talk to people, and he thought he could reason things. And he still talks about MinLARS, which was this computer system at licensing department that was a disaster, and he brings in experts, and they come up with a solution, and that's kind of his model of governing. But he's really, I think he's moved away from that. He does not have really good, strong personal relations with certainly Republicans and even some Democrats, and to some degree you can blame the pandemic for that. But he's moved away from that type of governing to the point where the relations are bad enough that they can affect outcomes.
I know that predictions aren't reporters' favorite things, but you look at the way this session lines up, you've covered the first half of it, or hopefully the first half of it.
Yeah, about half.
How does this plane get landed this session in your mind? Does it get landed smoothly, or is it a rocky landing at the end and we wait till June 30th or even later?
Well, just from watching, you know, again, Speaker Hortman is the one who's lived this more than almost anybody else. And she keeps talking about just how awful relations were in 2019. Where she was the speaker and Paul Kozelka was the majority leader of the Senate and Walz was governor. I mean, they are having ugly press conferences, accusing each other of all sorts of horrific things. And then Sunday comes around and they walk out and they have a deal. So I think they, certainly she knows how to do that deal, and others do as well. Aaron Murphy and Lisa Damoth will learn to do that. And don't watch the rhetoric. What is it? Wolves have to circle three times before they finally go down to sleep.
Yep.
They will do that up until the point where they'll walk out with a deal. So I think it'll be a very limited agenda. It'll be a very bare bones, boring budget that helps resolve part of the coming deficit. We have to call it looming. That's in the state constitution. It's a looming deficit. And, you know, if it doesn't finish on time, it will finish within, you know, days or weeks of, I say weeks only because sometimes they don't meet formally.
Right.
They work things out and then they come back for a day or two, a week or so later. Keep your expectations low. Realize that the rhetoric is really not affecting anything. And ultimately, I think they adjourn with a budget prior to June 30th.
One of the first conversations I had with you, I remember just vividly, you looked at me and you said, what's the Met Council? That's one of the things I'm trying to understand. I don't know that that exists anywhere else. What brought your, you know, curiosity to the Met Council, and what did you learn, and how is it different than other places, and how does it function in your mind?
Well, I did learn because everyone who speaks of the Met Council says the Met Council. You have to call it the unelected Met Council. That's also a requirement. Portland has something sort of similar where they have a regional council, has more limited responsibilities than this Met Council. It doesn't even have transit, for instance. It does elect its commissioners or council members, whatever they call them. But other than that, it's pretty unusual to have something with this kind of authority and sweep. And it's a bureaucracy. It's not a really a council because even Walls turns over council members regularly. So the council members don't really have any depth of knowledge. And I think that drives it into as being a staff-driven organization. But boy, is it entrenched. Attempts to change even sort of the any minor workings of the Met Council runs into trouble at the legislature. It's easier to stop those changes from happening. At the same time, you know, it could be a good thing. I mean, everybody built these cities and counties at a time where you weren't going to fill in every square foot of space with a house in, you know, five counties, seven counties, go out to 13 counties. I mean, it is a region, and at some point you can't govern it on either side of a county line that was drawn 150 years ago. So it has a function. It just needs to figure out what it is, and the legislature needs to figure out what it is.
When you were out west and covering, I'm guessing there were issues that, you know, where government didn't work smoothly, that things were over budget, they were late, they were, you know, controversial, or they cost too much or more than they had projected. One of the things that I have found more frustrating recently is specifically with Met Council or certain projects, when it costs more than is projected, the inability for somebody to say we messed up in Minnesota seems to be higher than other places, or there just seems to be less outrage in Minnesota from the public. Can you compare us to some issues out west that may have gone wrong and how leaders handled them differently?
Oh, I don't. I think everybody wants to pass blame to someone else and not accept it for themselves or find excuses. You know, but for the Kenilworth Tunnel, that project would not be as big of a problem. And why did you use the Kenilworth Tunnel? Because you got too much public process, and everybody along the line said, our problem is now the biggest problem.
Mm-hmm.
You should have been on surface. You should have gone more through on surface through St. Louis Park. St. Louis Park complained, said, we'll withdraw our support. You created a system for light rail where every government that it passes through has a veto. it costs money to buy off those vetoes. You have to do all sorts of stuff to buy off those vetoes. And the public process delays these things. And, you know, what is it, at least $50 million a month almost if you delay these projects. So the public process is skewed. And the tunnel was a bad decision, but it was the one that they ended up with because everybody else got to veto the cheaper, more reasonable paths, including, you know, the small regional freight railroad. So, you have to kind of accept those things. The first blue line, you didn't have these kinds of issues. And now you get to the point where everybody needs to be satisfied along the way. So you're trying to extend the blue line, and it seems like every little neighborhood through North Minneapolis and all the way up to Robbinsdale needs to be satisfied or they'll block the project. I mean, that costs money and it costs time.
We're going to take a quick break, but Peter, when we come back, I want to focus on media. There's a lot of talk about media, where it's at, young journalists, and I want to get your thoughts on what you think the state of media in Minnesota is and how we're covering the Capitol. I'm Blaise Olson. This is Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO. We're back on Sunday Take. My guest is Peter Callahan. He is retiring as the Capitol reporter for MinnPost, which he's done for over 10 years. And Peter, before the break, I teased the question about the state of media. Compared to other places, Minnesota still has a robust media. But what should listeners know about the journalists who cover the Capitol? The future of media in your mind, because you've watched this evolution and a lot of people hand-wring about it. But some days I kind of want to reflect back and say, where are we today and where could we be better?
Yeah, I mean, I think you should start where you started. I don't think people in the state of Minnesota realize what they have. And I think they take it for granted to have a really seriously strong daily newspaper, now one of the largest regional papers in the country. They don't know what it's like to be in a place that does not have that. NPR is unique in that it's a statewide network, still with a large reporting staff. That's not elsewhere. And the state capitol, I think partly because it's in the big cities and it's slightly cheaper to put people in those offices than it was, say, in Olympia, Washington, which was, an hour and a half at 2 a.m. on a Saturday to get back and forth. But with traffic every day, it's a two and a half hour trip. TV wouldn't even always send a crew down, and they've stopped staffing that building year round. So you shouldn't take it for granted, because I think it's important and other people should think it's important. You always hear, you guys don't cover this, and the reason they know about this is because we covered it. That said, I do think, Minnesota media falls into the same trap as everyone else, particularly in the stuff that I like and care about. I did city governments, St. Paul and Minneapolis and the Met Council for the first 4 years that I got here. And then I shifted over to this beat. And I like to sometimes ask reporters who are over there, I say, what do you like better, politics or policy? Almost every single one says politics. Mm-hmm. You get to that beat because you like the politics. And I think we have, and I don't, I do the politics because they make me, but I can then go back and do the policy. But you've got to be able to make that shift a week after election day a full month after election day, and now start looking at, well, why did you have these elections? Well, we had these elections because those are the folks who get to make policy. And we don't shift very well. I think people like the politics too much to give it up. And media is at least half to blame for the perpetual campaign. We're part of the campaign consultant industrial complex that keeps these campaigns going year round. And too often we cover the legislature from that perspective. And we don't allow them to step back from politics and start looking at policy and problem solving. So that's kind of my critique. But the TV stations are at the Capitol every day. That's not true in other states. And they allow their folks to stay and develop expertise as opposed to sending some poor reporter over, you know, cold, who is supposed to try to figure out what's going on in an hour and a half and make sense. So those are all positive things, and I think you benefit from it. I just don't like that all 10 or 12 people every day might be covering the same story, and it's a fleeting story, and they're not developing subject matter expertise that would be more helpful.
I chuckle and relate to your comment about politics over policy, because once upon a time, a long time ago, almost 30 years ago, somebody suggested that I take a role as a policy person to, you know, bridge the gap between campaigns. And I looked at him and I said, how quickly will somebody in the Capitol Press Corps suggest that I am not a policy person, but I am a politics person? But I do believe that it is a clear distinction. And you're right. We all focus on the politics more than we should, and focus less on the policy. Last couple of questions, thoughts, and anything else you want to share. What will you follow in your retirement about Minnesota? What will still keep you curious here in this state?
Well, I'll be interested in how this session ends, obviously. And then, despite what I've just blathered on about, I'll be interested in what Tim Walz decides. I don't think he runs for a third term, but he hasn't announced that yet. I'll be kind of interested in how the U.S. Senate race shapes up. And I will, you know, be interested in seeing how some of these policies maintain themselves. A lot that was passed has not been implemented yet. I'll be interested in seeing, just curiosity, how the Minneapolis politics shape up. You have now two parties. They're all DFL people, but they hate each other as much as Republicans hate Democrats. And I'd be interested to see how that turns out this election.
I know you're a private person. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I'm fine. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I know you're kind of a private person, but what are you going to do in retirement? What's going to keep you busy? Because I know that you have a certain energy about you that isn't going to necessarily sit still.
I don't know. I haven't even thought about that. I was finishing a story close to 5 o'clock on Friday, waiting for edits. We'll see. You know, we've got the issue of trying to sell real estate in Minneapolis over the next several months, which we're not anticipating is going to be easy, moving cross country and setting up again. So that's kind of our job for the next probably 5-6 months.
Awesome. Well, on behalf of many who I've heard from, thank you. Stay in touch. And when you come back, then we can compare notes on what happened after you left and maybe tell an old story about being cursed at by the same people once in a while. So there you go. Peter, thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. I don't say this lightly, but there is, in 30 years, I can count on two hands, barely two hands, the number of reporters at the Capitol who dug as deep and was as serious and thoughtful as Peter Callahan. And it was a gift to Minnesota. It was great that he was there. If you haven't read him, go to MinnPost. They'll still have his content there. And there's a depth there that is serious. And hopefully you got a flavor for his dryness in that interview, because having worked with him both on behalf of clients and then sitting next to him at a convention and comparing notes a couple times, getting to know somebody like that is a treasure when you work with somebody, and you can learn a lot from. But that being said, we're going to move forward when we come back. The take, and reminder, I want your input, 651-461-9226. What did we learn about ourselves, about our state, about our leaders during the pandemic? There's a lot of reflections, including a special section in the Star Tribune. And we all have kind of those short fuse opinions, but I want your long thought out feelings about what we learned and where we could rebuild trust that was lost during the pandemic. I'm Blois Olson. This is Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO. We're back on Sunday Take. Thanks for listening this morning. If you're just tuning in, we had Peter Callahan on, who's retiring from MinnPost, and he gave some great perspective and insight. And I asked for this week's take, but before we get to the take, a message from Minnesota Hospital Association. Did you know that in one way or another, Medicaid supports all of us in Minnesota? It is the largest source of federal health funding that Minnesota hospitals rely on to keep their doors open. The critical program faces an unprecedented threat that could strip healthcare from vulnerable Minnesotans, devastate our healthcare system, and shift massive cuts to the state budget from the federal budget. Minnesota hospitals want you to know that it's critical, and we must protect Medicaid's promise of healthcare access to all Minnesotans, regardless of income, age, or health status. You can learn more about this at protectmnpatients.org. Again, protectmnpatients.org, a message from the Minnesota Hospital Association. This week's take is really about what we learned 5 years ago. I will self-reflect and say that the roller coaster that was COVID in my world proved a couple different things. First, it was great for business, and I want to be transparent about that. We gained more readers. We gained more listeners. This show came about after I turned it down twice over the last 20 years because of COVID, because we learned that I could do a Sunday show via Zoom when I can't be live. I can record it Friday and send it in. You still get the insight, and I get my Sunday mornings, my coffee, the things that are sacred to me. And so I reflect on that, about how we learned about technology and production and media. The 2020 election, I covered essentially via Zoom. I hosted debates. I moderated forums. And then when the world reopened and I got to the 2022 election, I was like, how can I do as much? And the reality was, when I started traveling the state again, you couldn't do as much. I wasn't as efficient. So that's one way that the pandemic changed my world. And I'm grateful that more people found our content, more people listened. WCCO was a go-to. We had more streams then than we had listeners. And people really understood how we streamed live on your smart speaker. So I'm grateful for all of those things that we learned. And of course, steeped in the politics and up to my waist in the day-to-day briefings and breaking news, I learned a lot about the personalities and leadership. And I've watched to see if they were pandemic related or if those were their true personalities. And what I learned is that I think COVID changed all of our personalities a little. They didn't necessarily change our values, but we certainly kind of dug in. What I'm seeing from your texts about this is that even when they get it wrong, we need to learn from our health officials. They are the experts. And I think that's one of the other things I learned, is that it's okay to say we don't know and we could have done better. But in the moment, in those weeks, in those months, did we know? We were learning. The idea that one Minnesota, one universal rule was applied across the state was frustrating to many, and many of you mention it in the text. That was one piece that I think, if we break that down a little, we should be aware that the state isn't all the same. We are all of the same state. We are interdependent, but things are different. And I oftentimes said during the pandemic, just look east to Wisconsin, where restrictions and rules were county by county, not statewide, and how they function differently. And it gave them just a little more liberty. And I can't say that they had that big of a difference in health. Governor Walz doesn't compare us to Wisconsin. He compares us to South Dakota or Nebraska. And so I think the biggest thing we have to continue to watch and hopefully find a pivot point soon is how we can rebuild trust in institutions. We trust people to a person, but do we trust the institution they represent? I know I've talked about this a lot, but I feel as though the deterioration of trust in the media, in government, in our relationships was the biggest thing that we lost during the pandemic. The other thing I would like to say is I think that we have to acknowledge the impact of long COVID. Long COVID is real. The number of people I know that have it is small, but the impact on their lives as productive working citizens is massive. It's different. We're going to learn, but it's real. And we have to make sure that we research and figure that out. Otherwise, we're going to lose more people from the workforce. Vibrant people in their 30s and 40s. We have to learn. And some of that research is happening at the University of Minnesota, and I want to call that out. So we have to keep learning. We have to keep understanding. We have to go beyond the headlines. And as mixed as my feelings are about the pandemic, my feelings are even more mixed about the five-year marker. Because I know in 5 years we're going to talk about the 10-year marker, and in 10 years we're going to talk about the 15-year marker. And I don't know that any of us want to relive or reflect as deeply as is probably healthy with relation to COVID and how it impacted our lives. I think one of the texters says it best right now, that they respected the creativity used to stay in touch with others. I think that's the connecting point. How we learn to stay in touch, the relationships that deepened, and honoring those we lost and the sadness that came with it. But I will say that some of my college friends oftentimes would get on a Zoom dance party. Yes, a dance party. And sure enough, the DJ from our old college haunt would spin tunes and we'd talk in the chat. And once in a while, they'd be there. And as many as 50 or 60 people from my college days would show up in those chats. And you think about sitting on your couch with an adult beverage, reflecting and relating back to college. That was a good way to pass one night. And then we went there. So let's learn from COVID. Let's not repeat the mistakes we made. And let's keep going. I will be with Vanita tomorrow at 6:20. Scott Korzenowski is up next. I think he's probably going to talk about Aaron Rodgers. I want to welcome Corzo to the WCCO, to the Good Neighbor. Be a good neighbor. And I know you guys sent in a lot of texts now, but I can only imagine the texts that'll come.
Hey, our ride's almost here. Are you ready?
Just grabbing my shoes.
That's what you said 10 minutes ago.
I just wrapped a video call, uploading this giant file on my tablet, looking at my watch go bananas with the group chat, and, of course, still lining up tonight's playlist on my phone.
All at once?
Yep, story of my life. That's why I switched to T-Mobile. They have the fastest 5G network.
Okay, multitasker. I see you.
Honestly, I never imagined I could do all this at once. It's awesome.
Say no more, I'm totally switching. My post is taking way too long to upload.
That's a sign. You've got to get T-Mobile.
So many reasons to join T-Mobile. Find yours at T-Mobile.com.
fastest based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data of national speed score results incorporating 5G download and upload speeds for the first half of 2026.
I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
You want a career that pays? How about $40 to $75 an hour in total compensation, including healthcare, retirement, and getting paid while learning? That's what the Union Building Trades offer. St. Louis is booming with projects, and contractors need the next generation of skilled workers right now. Skip the dead-end jobs. Skip the mountain of student debt. Learn a trade. Earn a paycheck. Build something that matters. Visit mouniontcareers.com and start building your future today.
Think about how much life has changed since 1991. Back then, you had to rewind the VHS tapes. Dial-up internet was a distant dream, and listening to your favorite hosts on demand wasn't even an option. Yet through all that change, Bob's Discount Furniture has kept doing things the Bob's way, offering incredible quality and modern features without inflating their prices. Look at the Sedona Power Reclining Sofa. It packs genuine leather, Bobapedic seating, built-in charging, and handy cup holders all into one setup for just $12.99. For dinner parties, the Homeworks dining set brings clever storage in both the table and bench, keeping your space organized and guests comfy for only $6.99. Plus, their best-selling Cascade bedroom set brings sophisticated reeded details, felt-lined drawers, and convenient USB ports in three stunning finishes. It's proof that top-tier style doesn't need a sky-high price tag. Stop in or shop online at mybobs.com to celebrate 35 years of top-rated style at Bob's Discount Furniture.
I'm in about it, Aaron Rodgers. Until next week, that's The Take.
Hey, our ride's almost here. Are you ready?
Just grabbing my shoes.
That's what you said 10 minutes ago.
I just wrapped a video call, uploading this giant file on my tablet, looking at my watch go bananas with the group chat, and, of course, still lining up tonight's playlist on my phone.
All at once?
Yep, story of my life. That's why I switched to T-Mobile. They have the fastest 5G network.
Okay, multitasker. I see you.
Honestly, I never imagined I could do all this at once. It's awesome.
Say no more, I'm totally switching. My post is taking way too long to upload.
That's a sign. You've got to get T-Mobile.
So many reasons to join T-Mobile. Find yours at T-Mobile.com.
Fastest based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data of national speed score results incorporating 5G download and upload speeds for the first half of 2026.
You want a career that pays? How about $40 to $75 an hour in total compensation, including healthcare, retirement, and getting paid while learning? That's what the Union Building Trades offer. St. Louis is booming with projects, and contractors need the next generation of skilled workers right now. Skip the dead-end jobs. Skip the mountain of student debt. Learn a trade. Earn a paycheck. Build something that matters. Visit mouniontcareers.com and start building your future today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
People say, "I got you," all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over 1 million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare. Other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. WeShare Health. We got you.